Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Guess what this song is?
You told us earlier.
It's
a white brow
bar. I don't care. It's not on the sheet.
Throw me the keys, honey. Take a seat. Let me show you how to drive that thing. Ride a shotgun with a bootleg of sun. Show to make a city girl scream. I'm on a take you places, money. Don't go. I'm on a teach you what a country boy.
Catchy.
I like it. Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. I have a time to thank all of you. Yes, I am in the room today. We got Steve Silver.
Can I hear
we got Amber Ash McCary.
That's me.
Producer Zach is doing a hot radio turn on the traffic down the traffic there. He's going, hey, look at all the people down there looking like little mice.
I don't know what your
around.
Mustard and biscuit thing is happening
I don't know what they're doing either.
Very, very sling blade, Sean.
Yeah, that's right. And this is Sean Roberts. That's right. Together we are the Weekly Dose podcast.
That was like some Arkansas / Appalachian.
I love that joke he tells. And two guys fishing off a bridge. The water was deep. I think one of them was from Arkansas.
Oh my gosh. Hey guys, thank you for joining us. We are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. And we are the only podcast who continues the radio traditions of our favorite guys, Mark and Brian. And if you miss them as much as we do, you guys have tuned into the right show.
That's right, but if you're also looking for a podcast that's fun, interactive, and that you can be a part of every week, kind of like a family reunion, or maybe getting together with your friends at a bar, then this podcast is for you.
Yeah, well, thank you for recently finding us. We're so glad you're here. If you'd like to be a part of the show today, listen carefully. You can always do other things to be involved.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's right. We'll talk to you about those later.
Yeah.
But we got horoscopes today. We also got a tribute because we lost two great people last week, Gavin McLeod and BJ Thomas. And we're going to try and call two of our friends today, wish them a happy birthday. And I was reading this article. As I was reading it, I got kind of disappointed, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Masturbation from real women.
I'm going to handle this one.
That's right. And literally. And and then if you guys haven't seen it yet, but the woman attacks a bear. And if we got enough time, we're going to be playing a new game called Young Frankenstein Named That Tune.
Now, like I mentioned, there are several ways you can enjoy our show other than... In addition to listening, you can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com, or send a message via Twitter, Instagram, at yourweeklydose1. Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose. And if you want to send us a personal message,
which you should do,
you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Just all the things are basically Your Weekly Dose or Your Weekly Dose 1. Super easy. And you can always download the show for free. You made me have a tongue-tied moment. You guys can always download the show for free from the website yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and you guys, most importantly, rate and review the show. We
that
need you to
important.
Do that.
Yes.
Even if it's terrible, like I say this every week.
Yeah.
Tell us
we'll
you're good, you're bad,
we'll
you're ugly.
Them. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, today's theme song was Moonshine Road by Kick Brooks.
Kick Brooks.
Because it is National Moonshine. Day.
I gotta say, I'm just gonna be real honest about this. Love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. They did these solo ventures, and I just can't tell. Kix Brooks, his voice is better with Ronnie. I think that him and Ronnie
That's why it works together.
And Ronnie can do solo stuff, and you know, you're like, oh, that's Ronnie Dunn.
Was it James Bloom I was talking to? No, it was somebody else. Somebody else I was talking to. I went to a convention for songwriters.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name. Famous songwriter himself.
That's him. I know. I know him. Famous songwriter
but
himself.
I can't think of the name. And anyway, he was telling Ronnie Dunn about when they first broke up.
Yeah.
To not do this particular song.
They didn't break up, well, per se. They're still best friends.
Yeah,
still
yeah, but I mean, but the entity of Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah, they do stuff.
Anyway, so he told him, don't do that song. And it was about the recession at the time period and everything and so forth.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why? He goes, when was the last time you felt that recession?
Yeah.
He goes, your crowd can relate to it, but they can't relate to you singing that song.
Yeah, yeah.
And as good as that album was, because I love that first album that Ronnie Dunn did, because he is one of those guys where he can absolutely take the song and make it his own. He knows how to make the song his own, basically.
Make the song his bitch?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, the same way Elvis could do his song.
Ronnie and Kix are both Nashville royalty.
Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
You don't, you'd say their names. You say Ronnie and they're like, oh, right.
Well, they go, Millsap?
Huh? Ronnie Millsap? Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. Okay, but
so, anyway.
Ronnie and Kix, you just know.
And the first album that Ronnie did was a flop. It was a major, major flop because a lot of the stuff was unrelatable.
Yeah.
And it was that first single that it put people off.
Yeah.
Because they go...
Like Soccer Bad flop?
Oh, huge, dude. I think like he only sold... He sold less than 500,000 copies. That's how bad. Yeah. It didn't even hit aluminum. That's how bad it was.
Aluminum.
It was zinc.
Aluminum.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but he could take a song and really mold it his own, though. He's a really good... I'm trying to find the right word for it. But really make it his own. But that whole song, whatever, the first single was just unrelatable to people because they go, well, how do you know what we feel in this and that?
I get that. It's hard. Well, you know, but people will let Garth and Reba tell them how it is, and they live in friggin' mansions, and they're you know. So I think that Ronnie just
speaking of Garth, though, have you seen the documentary on him?
I have not, and I would love to see it. I'm a huge fan of his.
He's a great guy. It is so good because he makes sure he stays humble. As big as their mansion is or whatever,
oh, yeah.
There's an area that he goes out and meditates.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. And it brings him home of remembering where his roots are at.
Man, Garth is...
They're all down-to-earth
people. I worked
in
the industry. Yeah. I went to school for it. I was, like, steeped in it. And they are all...
They're all down-to-earth people, bottom line.
There's nobody I can really say, like, oh, they're a fucking asshole. I can't
say
it about anybody.
They're all good.
Trisha, she'd come into Belmont, and she would, like, do classes. She would do interviews or projects with any student who asked mm-hmm. her. That was a big thing at Belmont. When you're doing the music business program, you have to do a lot of hands-on stuff.
I love hands-on stuff.
We're going to talk about
a different kind.
Yes, we are.
But I never had an issue asking anybody, you know, even if I had no connection to them,
mm-hmm.
emailing, reaching out, going to see them somewhere.
The Nashville community is such a tight community where they truly help each other out.
They do. There's some rivalries, little things, but they're all pretty family.
Well, that's just with NASCAR.
What was with the itsy bitsy spider thing?
They're all networking, they all help each other out.
The itsy bitsy spider.
Nobody can see our hands.
Hey, I have a point of contention.
What?
Okay, but first, before you say that,
yes,
real quick, we do let people know that they can get Kix Brooks music.
Well, there you go.
On our, which is today's theme song,
and you can get Ronnie's.
And Ronnie's too.
And you can get Brooks and Dunn.
If you want. We don't care.
No,
but
no,
either way,
Jason's
go get Kix Brooks's right now because he needs the money.
Kix?
Yeah. They need the money. He's only sold four of those songs. So, you know, he needs the money desperately.
I'll tell you what. That was a good song.
But I liked it. Yeah, because it had that.
That
swampy thing. But anyway, go to our sponsor, which is Amazon.com. Click on the Amazon banner. And make sure you get any of the music.
Do
any of the music. Hold on.
We'll do it again. There we go.
Get any of the music, whatever that we play here on our show at Amazon, because that's our main sponsor, and we love Amazon.
And if you're going to do it, go to our damn banner.
That's right.
Okay.
Steve, go ahead. You're going
to
say something.
See my paper I have to read every day. See, if you look up, you notice.
You spilled something on it. I'm not
I trying. Didn't. I came in. There's a big, like, oily stain and then, like, a skid mark down the middle of it. Like,
gross.
Somebody tried to use my paper as a pair of underpants. And it's distracting, and I need a new one. I will print you a new one. Oh.
All right.
That was disturbing.
Well, since we're going to go with that, let's catch up with each other.
You ready?
Oh, God, I loved that show.
Steve, you go first. I want to hear all about your
word. I learned a new word.
Oh.
Obstreperous.
Oh, tell us about this. Spell it.
It describes you.
Spell it and use it in a sentence.
Obstreperous.
That pause.
Obstreperous.
Obstreperous.
Yeah. It means boisterous.
Okay, and use it in a sentence.
And you.
Amber is.
Amber is boisterous.
Well, I know. Say the word. Amber is.
You could have a t-shirt and wear it. It says obstreperous.
Obstreperous.
Oh, that'd be a great variation.
I what. Amber,
that doesn't even sound like a word.
No.
You know what? We should. There was something I remember a while back, whatever. There was like a list of words that aren't real words, but they should be.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of fun sometimes.
We should do that next
intermix
week.
Words that are real and not real.
Yeah.
And
we should do that.
Steve always had stripper on the brain, so he said strep. It's actually
obstreperous.
Strep. Amber is not stripperish.
So what'd you do?
I watched the Lakers
lose.
Well, it wasn't so much that they lost; they just couldn't play the game because too many players were hurt to a point where they couldn't play.
Do you hear that CNN? Do you hear that ESPN and all those other sport networks? You guys were talking as if nobody was injured.
I know it's like Phoenix was like, oh boy, they really took it to the Lakers. Yeah, the Lakers didn't have anybody to play. They, a couple of games they had like three. Their number one, arguably number one player, Anthony Davis, just couldn't play.
He forgot how to dribble.
He was hurt. It was almost like it. Because he hurt himself, his knee, and then he was overcoming that, and then he hurt his groin, and then he tried to play. He left the game like in the first quarter, and he tried to play the next game, and he just couldn't play. And LeBron is still recovering from his.
Sounds like he needs to retire. So that much is falling apart.
Yeah, well, you know, you get old.
Yeah.
Oof.
So it was disappointing, but it was understandable.
But, you know, they all love to hate on the Lakers. It's like you got to hate on those the winners.
It's okay. We'll get them next year.
You know, Phoenix, their main player, Paul George, was injured. And he got injured in their first game. And they still hung on to win. Phoenix did. But then the Lakers came back because they didn't. Paul George couldn't play hardly at all. And they beat him two games in a row. And then Anthony Davis got hurt again. And LeBron kept getting, you know, knocked down and fall. It was just, it was
a mess.
It was just too bad.
I love how Steve's catching up is also the sports update.
I know, exactly.
I tie it all together, Steve.
It's like showering with a friend, you know. save time
save
and water.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
when you shower a friend, you don't really save time.
But you do save water.
But you do save
water. I don't even know if that's true, because you still have to. I mean, you're not under the water.
Actually, I've done that a couple of times. And
we all have.
You're in and out. You're out. You're in and out.
I can't do my full body exfoliation. I can't do my full regimen.
Why?
Because it's extensive and it's embarrassing. I do everything three times with three different things.
Really?
And?
Three cleansers.
Why would it be embarrassing?
It just takes forever, and people are like, what the fuck?
So?
I mean, I wash my hair twice, so, because, you know, even on the bottle, it says rinse, lather, repeat.
You know, I mean,
I was in the shower, like, for 5 hours one day, and I realized, wait a minute, you don't keep doing it.
No, I have a full body exfoliation is the first thing I do.
Okay. That's what I need to do.
And then I have a like a buffing, like a finish, uh-huh. And then I do the
good
smelly stuff at the
top. Yeah, like,
and then my face
you.
Has three things too, so it's kind of similar.
Well, that, but see, that's a good regimen, and you
I
look
do.
You look young enough.
And I'm OCD, so there yeah. you go.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Okay, good. We're yeah. not going to shower together, though.
No.
Okay.
I don't want to shower with you anyway.
OCD is interesting. Yeah. I have like
now your other half
points
maybe.
Of
I don't
OCD.
Know.
Shut up. So like if
she's taller.
If that
she's
spot
hot.
On my thumb
yeah, yes.
gets like something on it, it's like I can't get it off.
What the hell is
in a while. That's what OCD is. You get this feeling that you can't.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Well, but
and that happens right there.
Yeah, that's your OCD right there.
The yeah.
Side of your thumb.
It's weird, and it's also in the palm of my hands.
Interesting. Mine's wow. just routines. Mine's routines and germs.
And how was your week?
Fantastic. Lots of work.
Oh, am I done?
Yeah, we knew what was coming next. You were high. You were high, anime porn, and we're good.
Oh.
Mine was good. Lots of work. Had a wonderful date day yesterday with a girlfriend. It was really fun.
Good.
We had a great day.
Good. I'm glad things are working out with you guys.
Yeah, it's very fun.
I dig her.
Having
She's
a blast.
Cool. That's awesome.
We haven't met her yet.
But I've been hearing good things, though.
You have, yes.
And seen a couple of pictures.
You saw her face, yes.
I saw her face, yeah. Picture, yeah. What? I didn't say anything else.
How was your week?
Well,
choo-choos.
I didn't see you guys on Sunday. Missed out.
You know why.
Missed out.
I had my chillin'.
Know. But you guys missed out, though.
I'm so sorry.
It actually was fun. It was, I'll be honest, it was a little bit disappointing because how many people I invited compared to how many people came out.
Yeah.
But it was very surprising. My buddy Marty Ross from the New Monkees came out. And I just want to make sure you're done drinking the water because I can hear it. That's why. So he came out and surprised me. So I was
that's
really
awesome. Really,
and it was fun. We had a blast. You know, together and everything. We got to play together, too. It was really funny because he gets up on stage to do the open mic and kind of goes, well, I don't know that many songs, and the songs that I do know basically are from a Sean Roberts album. So I'm going to play those.
Aww.
Which were the same songs as the New Monkees album.
Gotcha.
So
yeah.
Those were the ones that's that he funny. Did, basically.
Well, you know what? I don't feel bad. I know it's shitty, but
no, I'm not.
I feel like some people are eager to get out, but a lot of people are. There's people who are still really
yeah.
leery.
No, and I understand
so,
it.
Yeah.
But two at the same token, I remember inviting you to it, but you said you didn't see the invite for whatever reason.
I did not see the invite. No,
so I think Facebook kind of screwed up somewhere.
It does. It wants all the money to just even.
So
yeah, it's
yeah,
bullshit.
But
sorry,
but
yes,
but yeah. So like I said, it was a little knowing how many I invited, how many came out. A little disappointing, but the people who came out, I'm so glad they're there, especially Marty. Marty
I was there
a total
in spirit.
Marty was a total surprise for me.
Oh, good.
Trevor, the owner of the bar, got me a cake.
Aww.
So I thought that was very, very cool of him.
Thank you, Trevor.
Yes, thank
so
you.
Thoughtful.
Got you a what?
A cake.
Cake.
Okay, I thought I said tape.
Eat
that
the
too.
Cake. Eat yeah. the
that
cake.
Too.
Cake. There was cake and I didn't go.
Uh-oh. I know. And it was chocolate, dude.
Oh, shit.
It was a nice big old sheet.
Oh.
So it was a big old sheet. So
I did that the other night.
And so anyway, so I had a great time, though. I mean, overall, it was nice. Came home tired.
Good.
Went out with another friend of mine, Pauline, and her boyfriend.
Who's calling?
I don't know who's calling.
Do we have a caller?
I don't think so.
Turn off your fucking phone.
They are.
But
turn your volume down.
Went karaoke-ing with her and her boyfriend Eddie.
Yeah.
And had a blast with her.
That's awesome.
And it just reminded me. I'm so glad her and I reconnected because she's just an awesome gal. Just a really, really awesome gal. But no, overall, the weekend was good. It was nice. Went to the train store, got some new stuff, came back, worked on the train. And as you may notice, Monday, Memorial Day also.
Yes.
My son and I got haircuts.
This is crazy. Karen sent me photos. I was
so,
like, well, she's only sent me Roman.
Yeah, well.
And I was like,
Well,
no,
his hair.
Take Sean, too.
Well, his hair, it was much longer than mine.
Yes.
He grew at least about 9.5 inches down.
He had some Antonio Banderas hair.
He did, majorly. And so we still have it downstairs. So we are sending it to Locks of Love.
Aw.
And everything. So he's loving his new haircut now. He's so glad that it's over and done.
Freeing.
Yeah, very freeing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really see him What? He was in the front room when I, well, when I.
Oh, you mean today?
I didn't, yeah, this morning. Yeah. I didn't really. I thought how short did he get it?
I thought you meant over the entire year.
Yeah. So, and got mine done too.
You guys look great.
So, now mine.
Cleaned up.
Got, it, the gal didn't do exactly the hairdo I wanted. But it's okay. I don't mind. It's going to grow out. I don't care.
Sometimes it's a face thing, you know?
So it is. It is. And boy, what a face this is. And, but it was, I think the place was called Kemp's down in Fountain, no, Costa Mesa, down in Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa, oh.
And it is specifically a men's salon.
Okay.
So they kind of, you know, pamper you and everything.
Do they,
and
check, they check to make sure you have a penis first before you.
Yes, but exactly.
Penis verification.
Okay. You said it was a girl that did it. So you mean it was a salon where only men go to?
Right. It's a, okay. It's a men's salon.
Like a barber shop would be like that.
Right. But it's a, but it's a, but salon.
It's a salon.
And it's a really cool place. They kind of pamper you and everything and so forth. And
I like
give
that.
You some beverages and beer.
Bevos.
Even to the point they go, would you like a fresh t-shirt to wear instead of your own?
Oh, so you can put yours on later.
So you can, you know, get your hair cut in one of their t-shirts,
oh,
or whatever.
Is that what you have on?
And, no.
Oh.
And they wear them, and you wear it or whatever, so that way you don't get hair.
Yeah.
And one thing I really liked about this place is that not only do they wash your hair before.
Okay.
But they cut it.
Yeah.
Wash your hair afterwards.
Nice. To get all the, get all the.
Yes.
The extra little.
Exactly. And it's one of the few places that do that.
I love that. As you said that you went. Exactly, and he parted his hair.
Exactly.
He's like, exactly.
Yes. So it was a real cool experience.
It was
fun. It was really fun. So
that's awesome.
Worth every penny. Worth every penny for it. Normal haircuts are like $50, but with the pampering that you get and everything, to me, it's definitely worth it.
Did you tip 20%?
I did.
Good.
Actually, I did.
Whenever I got my hair cut in the past, when I was working and stuff, I always went to a... like a beauty salon, and had some girl do it like that, mm-hmm. and I don't care what it costs. It just, I like that.
Yeah,
I like when a lady touches my head. What's
I do, yeah. I do.
They gave me this like aroma thing, whatever. To
yeah,
go, take a couple of deep breaths, whatever. And I went, ooh, and, I, and then they massaged my scalp and
so
everything.
So it was only ladies who were the stylists.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, how interesting.
So, but it's owned by a couple.
Okay.
The husband is an entrepreneur. And the wife is the stylist, and they have two locations.
Oh, is it? And, oh, I mean, she has other stylists on the docket, though.
I'm sorry? That keeps her busy.
It's not just her.
No, no, no. They have a full staff, and the full staff does rotate between the two locations.
Gotcha.
One's in Irvine, one, the other one's in Costa Mesa.
Nice. This is a cool little business model.
It is. It is. They even have like a Harley motorcycle inside the place or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they ask you if you want a drink. You want like a Red Bull, a water, some Perrier.
Champagne,
beer. Champagne. I forgot what beers they had there, but you can, you know, have a beer.
Well, we just, so. are we, are they one of our sponsors now?
No.
We did a
whole thing on them, so.
Just so you guys know, Kemp's.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool place.
We're seeking, but we're seeking
like
new
said,
sponsors.
Little pricey. Like
okay.
I said, you know, $50 for a haircut, but. Very, very cool place, though. So,
awesome.
So that was my week overall. So
cool.
I had a nice week, and again went to the train store and picked up some new things.
Of course, you did. Toys.
Oh my God! The owner there, Greg, purchased two collections of N-scale, and one person passed away. It's this huge collection, over 7,000. I'm not kidding, 7,000. Just cars in rolling stock alone.
I have a question. And
yes.
It's probably inappropriate, but...
No, that's okay.
Do you think that he was buried with some of his trains?
No.
That'd be kind of cool.
But he was buried in his uniform, though.
His train conductor
uniform? Did
he have
his train conductor
uniform?
His engineer hat?
Yeah, his engineer
hat.
Yeah. And the whistle was right next to him.
Oh, my God. There had to have been a train somewhere in there.
So,
there had to have been a train.
But, yeah, it's a big, big collection. I picked up a couple of cars from him, and I asked Greg yesterday, because I went back yesterday... And I asked him, I said, so you halfway through, like a third of the way through? He goes, we're 1/8 of the way through.
Oh, wow.
It's that big of a collection. So he goes, come back once a week and you're going to see stuff. So I'm actually going to be going like 3 times a week just to see what's coming out.
What third or fourth job are you going to take to afford?
I have no idea.
I think the great thing to do would have been if like somebody who knew him had secretly recorded someone blowing that train whistle.
Oh, man.
And put it in the coffin, and then they put the train whistle in the coffin and closed it, and then they hit the and started blowing it.
That'd be funny.
That'd be actually kind of cool.
So that's our catching up, guys. So,
yeah,
we have such exciting lives.
Easy as that.
Exciting,
so that was my week. So it was a good week. Full week, fun week. But you know what time it is now for, too, don't you?
I do.
What is it?
Horoscopes.
That's such snappy music.
And we know the drummer.
There
you go.
John Bermuda Schwartz on the drums.
Nice.
All right, Scorpio.
Hey, that's me.
That'd be you. With the Sun and Mercury in your solar eighth house of intimacy.
Ooh.
Scorpio, you're clearly debating your needs and desires in a relationship.
That is true.
Okay, now, our cosmic messenger is in a retrograde phase, too, so you're likely deeply reflecting on past situations that have led you to where you are now.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
And this is an excellent time to be vulnerable and openly discuss your feelings.
Two snaps up for that.
With a partner to improve your rapport.
Mm-hmm.
The solar eclipse on June 10th could bring an impetus to shift your connection to the right direction. This one. The same lunation could also trigger an arrival of a large sum of money. Perhaps in the...
Oh, wait. Read that again.
A large sum of money.
No, before, leading up to that.
The same lunation.
Uh-huh.
Lunation. Could also trigger...
Are you screwing with me?
No, it says lunation.
Lunation.
You've said it about eight different times, and it's all different.
Lunation.
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 Could also trigger... the arrival... The moon!
Also, the fucking moon!
Oh, no, not the moon!
The light from the moon could also trigger an arrival of a large sum of money, or perhaps the form of a loan, venture capital, or settlement. Also, Jupiter is in your solar fifth house of true love, has been bringing blessings and the optimism to your heart. You will enjoy the blessings here until July 28th. This is just a preview of the good fortune that awaits you in 2022. Now, to end June, a full moon in your solar third house of communication appears on the 24th. This shows you that you have deeply important message that you're ready to broadcast to the world. Good thing you're on the air right now. This could be a culmination of an important writing, speaking, or advertising endeavor that will likely bring a contract for you to sign. With Mercury now direct, you can rest easy that things should have moved forward more easily rather than being hit with delays.
All right.
Why are you smelling
what's wrong?
Your shoe?
You have fleas?
These are brand new shoes, and they smell great. I was like,
the new shoe smell?
New shoe smell?
Yes.
I love that shit. Oh, my God. And my foot itches.
Well, scratch it.
That's what I'm literally doing.
All right. You get the flea out of there.
Do you want to do mine, or do... Do you want to go next?
Oh, Taurus. Okay.
Do it.
Now, this makes sense right off the bat, just the first word.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Confusion.
Oh,
how appropriate is that?
Also, I would like to say that the, what was the word again? Here, hang on.
Lumination.
No.
Lunation.
Lunation.
Obstreperous.
Lunation.
Obstreperous is not as positive as boisterous, by the way.
Obstreperous.
Obstreperous is noisy, difficult to control.
Yeah, boisterous.
Loud. Otherwise, no, yes. Amber.
Noisy and difficult to control.
See Amber.
And go. Thank you.
Confusion around financial matters will likely take place throughout most of June.
Yes.
This is because our cosmic messenger Mercury will be...
Will what? It's definitely being something.
What it says. This is an excellent time to review your expenses and budget, as well as make sure you know exactly where all of your hard-earned income is going.
This is the truest shit I've ever heard.
Okay. Despite a likely bit of uncertainty, a solar eclipse is in this same money-making zone takes place on the 10th.
Okay, June 10th.
Really?
Right.
This could likely bring you a raise, new job offer, or lucrative client.
That I could deal with.
This is a destined moment to see more abundance and prosperity. If you're self-employed, raise your rates. Don't be afraid to be on the lookout for a better better paying employer.
I'm very
because
happy
you could truly enlarge your nest egg even more.
Okay, what do I do if I have three jobs? That's very sticky.
Increase them all.
My nest egg is just a dozen eggs.
Okay.
June ends with a full moon in your solar ninth house of expansion that rises on the night of the 24th.
Oh.
This could bring a culmination to an academic, media, publishing, or international matter. Some Taurus natives could find that you're learning more about the world as you soar in new directions now. Don't stay in your comfort zone. It's time to fly and have fun!
I like it. Give it to me.
There you go. I like it, too. I'm
going to have to ruminate on this shit here.
We'll make it true.
All right. You ready for me? I'm going to do some Gemini.
All right.
This is for...
Gemini.
This is for Sean.
Gemini.
Gemini. That's the Spanish for... okay. You ready?
Yeah.
I have to put my mic over here.
Okay.
Hang on. I have a hair on me. I'm repairing.
You have hair all over you. What are we talking about?
Well, it was on my arm.
Oh.
Okay.
Shave it.
Embrace the winds of change, Gemini. Because this month will feel like you're taking two steps forward and one step back.
Uh-oh.
You feeling that?
I feel it, especially with this show.
Oh, my God. This is because you're going through a destined shift at this time. While it's obviously birthday season for you, it's likely you feel especially fired up with the sun dancing through your zodiac sign.
Ooh. Okay, the sun's dancing.
However, your ruler, Mercury, is unfortunately going backward in its retrograde cycle at this time. You
Jerk.
Can feel like your entire life is on hold.
just part of it.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, my sex life.
Hear that screeching sound as it stops?
Oh, it stopped years ago.
Okay. This could actually be a blessing, though, because it gives you an opportunity to reflect on your progress, review your plans, and take a new route to get what you are after in life.
Oh, I've been trying to take a new route every day.
Oh, yeah. You are recreating yourself and emerging like the phoenix.
Gone.
You are now.
Gone.
So,
I have no idea.
So
that's
it's
what
time
like.
To step into your power and show the world the new Sean.
Yeah, damn it.
This could also clear the path for you to set forth on a new journey as you pursue a heartfelt hope and dream.
I love dreams.
Right?
Matter of fact, just the other day. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. A full moon ends this month, soaring in the night. Soaring in the night of the 24th. These are all very similar. This lunation. Yes, lunation.
Lumination.
No, lunation.
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 Lamination.
No.
Lama.
This lunation could force you to assess the balance. I like SS. SS.
I love SS too.
The balance in an important relationship as well as trigger the arrival of a large sum of money. We're all about to do some money shit.
Good, because I need a job.
In the form of a bonus settlement, royalty check, or loan approval. I love that it had royalty check in there.
My music's actually going to make money?
Maybe.
Holy crap.
Hold on to that? That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Gemini.
Normally we've got four to read, but because Gemini is also my birthday thing, which is...
No, we don't have four to read.
We normally have four, because...
Zach?
There's four of us.
No, because Zach and her are Taurus, but we always read also the birthday month, too.
Oh, we do.
But it turns out that this is the birthday month of Gemini.
So we did it.
Yeah, so you know what? That means we're done. Yeah.
That was great.
We're out of time crunch, you guys.
All righty. Well, last week when we got off the air, immediately in the afternoon, got some bad news.
Yeah.
And I texted Jill Whelan, actress Jill Whelan, right away to pay my condolences to her. She was very thankful for it. And I told her we definitely wanted to talk about it today. And so that's the passing of her TV father, who we all know as Captain Steubing from The Love Boat, which is Gavin McLeod. So
Steve, his name is Merrill.
Yeah, Merrill. Yeah, Merrill Steubing. So, Steve's got the whole thing on Gavin.
Yes. The Great. Love Boat.
Oh my
Don't
God.
We have music for this? Soon we'll be. I'm always when I think about the Love Boat, I think about Summer Rental with John Candy and Rip Taylor. And they're learning to sail, and Rip Taylor's out in the sailboat, and they're going along, and he's singing the Love Boat theme. It's really cool. Okay, Gavin McLeod, pronounced MacLeod, like I just said, was born Alan George C. Huh, I wonder if he started to seize candy. February 28th, 1931 to May 29th, 2021, he was an American actor best known for portraying Merrill Steubing, the ship's captain on ABC's The Love Boat. He died at his home in Palm Desert, California on the 29th. He was aged 90. That's a good life.
Yeah, that's full.
And he did go through a period of ill health, and no cause was given. McLeod is a Christian television host and author whose career spanned six decades. He also appeared as a guest on several talk, variety, and religious programs. His career began in films in 1957. He was born in Mount Kisco, New York, the elder of two children. His mother, Margaret
I'll handle this
N-E-E.
Pronunciation.
Above my thumb.
Oh, that means their maiden name.
She was born in 1906 and died in 2004. A middle school dropout, worked for Reader's Digest. His father, George C., from 1906 to 1945, well, he was young. An electrician, was part of the Chippewa. He grew up in Pleasantville, New York, and studied acting at Ithaca, from which he graduated in 52 with a bachelor's degree in fine arts. After serving in the United States Air Force, he moved to New York City and worked at Radio City Music Hall while looking for acting.
Oh,
work.
I like this.
At about this time, he changed his name, drawing Gavin from a physically disabled victim in a television drama, and McLeod from his Ithaca drama coach, Beatrice McLeod. His first regular television role began in 1962 as Joseph Happy Haynes on McHale's Navy. I loved McHale's Navy. Oh, it was so funny. He left his role after two seasons to be in Sand Pebbles with Steve McQueen, which was a really good movie. McLeod's breakout role as Murray Slaughter on CBS The Tyler Murray Show More.
What the hell?
I think I'll try that again. How about he was also on The Mary Tyler Moore Show that won him lasting fame with two Golden Globe Awards nominations.
Man, she was hot.
Ah.
Sorry.
His starring role as Captain Steubing on a Love Boat. His next television series was broadcast in 90 countries worldwide. Between 77 and 86, spanning nine seasons, his work on that show earned him three Golden Globe nominations. I remember The Love Boat was one of those shows where the next Monday everybody would be around the water. Talking about the Love Boat. So, yeah.
Did you see that episode?
Really,
oh, my God, his hair was feathered just perfectly.
But what was Gavin like to work with? Well, let's hear from our friend, actress Jill Weiland, who played Gavin's TV daughter, Vicky Steubing, on the Love Boat.
I've got a very full life, especially with these wonderful people here. Every time we get together, it just brings up so many memories.
He's one of the best people I've ever known. One of my greatest teachers, and I have spent some of the most joyful moments of my life with Gavin McLeod. He was more than a TV dad for me. Gavin was like my real dad. He welcomed me in as though I was one of his own kids, and that never changed. And I came into this already established hit. The warmth and the love that he greeted me with made me feel so at ease. Here I was, this 10-year-old little girl coming on to a hit TV show, and the star of the show was the one person who made the first move to be loving and supportive, and that's just where our relationship started and where it's been ever since.
The best thing it's ever given me was this little girl right here.
All right. Gavin was the person who was there when I had my first kiss. Gavin was the person who was there when I went on my first date.
Love, exciting and new.
That's my dad. My relationship with my TV dad was incredibly special. It was pure joy, pure love, pure fun all the time. And yet with all of that, I knew that if I had a struggle with something, he would be the first person I would tell.
For me, especially seeing how Jill, that played my daughter Vicky on this show, has grown into this incredible human being. I'm so proud of her and I love her so much, and I start quelling up whenever I think about what she's done with her life and what's about to come for her. That gives me the greatest joy.
One of the most positive people that I've ever encountered in my life, and that's the way he led his life. He was a custodian of love.
Love, exciting and new.
Gavin was such an incredibly gifted actor. People know him from comedy, but a lot of people don't know that he started his career out as a dramatic actor, as a heavy, as we call it, always playing the villain. And he was so the opposite of that, and he was so good at it. He just was this gem of an actor.
Hi, I'm Gavin McLeod, and I play Jill Whelan's father on The Love Boat. I'm wishing you a happy birthday in case she forgot.
Aww. He loved to laugh more than anybody I know.
Captain, we are off course. What's your order?
Full steam ahead.
Oh, boy.
You've never lived until you've done a cruise with Gavin McLeod.
Hey, that's Gopher.
This is your captain speaking, Captain Steubing, that is.
The guests love him. I mean, what's not to love? But he spoke to each one of them like he'd known them for years, and he would listen to their stories and their impressions of him and what he meant to them. He was deeply human and loved people. People will come up and talk to him about their struggles in life because maybe they read his book, This Is Your Captain Speaking. And they will tell him how his words got them through something deeply personal.
And I've done inspirational films, spiritual films, if you will, that have helped people get their lives back together, recognizing that God is the source.
I think Gavin would want to be remembered first and foremost as a man of faith, as a family man, an incredible dad, wonderful husband, and as somebody who always led with positivity and love first. I never heard a cross word from him. You never heard anything negative from Gavin. He was the biggest cheerleader you ever saw. And that's how I'll remember him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
That was cool.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I remember seeing The Love Boat a little bit. But uh-huh. It wasn't really my jam.
Yeah,
I was the right age.
Kind
of. I was young, but my parents didn't watch it, so I didn't watch it. That's kind of a, you know, mm-hmm. if you're that age, if your parents don't watch it, you don't know what the hell's going on. But that was interesting. It was cute.
Yeah, so.
Cute little story.
Yeah, and you can find that clip also on YouTube with Jill. So she's, okay. You know, she took it very hard, obviously, and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I told her we would play that today. So
very cool.
So, and we lost another.
Oh God,
legend.
Who else died?
Yeah.
Okay, we need the rain sound effect here.
Well, in a moment, because. Hang on.
God, he insists on this rain sound effect.
As my father used to say, "No me pushes."
Or, you know, it's always something.
It is. B.J. Thomas was a fabulous singer. Yeah. Artists in Nashville and beyond have offered condolences for the 5-time Grammy-winning singer-songwriter B.J. Thomas, who died last weekend following a fight with cancer. Thomas also passed away on May 29th at his home in Arlington, Texas, from complications due to stage 4 lung cancer. We are very familiar with that, Steve and I. He was 78 years old. He enjoyed great success both in country, pop, and gospel music, won numerous CMA and Dove Awards in addition to his Grammys since the 1960s. Billy Joe Thomas was born in rural Oklahoma, but his family moved to Houston, where he grew up listening to the likes of Hank Williams, Ernest Tubb, as well as soul artists like Little Richard and Jackie Wilson. Thomas sang in church as a youth. His first success came in 1966 with I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, which reached number 8 on the top pop charts and became his first million-selling single, which preceded his debut album. Thomas's second huge hit was 1968 Hooked on a Feeling. Label mate Dionne Warwick introduced him to Burt Bacharach, and in 1970, Thomas topped the charts with Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, which Bacharach co-wrote with Hal David. The song was featured in Paul Newman and Robert Redford's film Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and won the Oscar for Best Original Song. Other hits include the Grammy-winning Best Country Song in 1976, Hey, Won't You Play, another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song, which reached number 1 both on the Billboard Hot 100 and Hot Country charts. I Just Can't Help Believing, Don't Worry Baby, Whatever Happened to the Old-Fashioned Love, New Looks from an Old Lover. Billboard named him among its top 50 most played artists over the last 50 years. He sold more than 70 million albums worldwide, scoring 8 number 1 hits, 26 top 10 singles. B.J. Thomas turned to gospel music in the mid-70s after taming a drug and substance addictions, and in 1976, his gospel album, Home Where I Belong, won him the Grammy and Dove Awards.
Huh.
In the process, it became the first gospel record to sell a million copies. He also recorded a popular version of Amazing Grace. His country hits in the 1980s included New Looks from an Old Lover Again, Whole World's in Love When You're Lonely, and Two Car Garage. In 1981, Thomas became a member of the Grand Old Opry. He also sang on the TV show theme song, Growing Pains, appeared in several films, and wrote 2 books, including an autobiography. He released his last album in 2013. What are others saying about Thomas? Well, it's pretty much just like this. One of the signs of true greatness is any of the arts is instant recognition of the creator, said Paul Stanley of Kiss. When you hear B.J. Thomas sing, there was never a doubt who it was. I will always know that voice. Dionne Warwick called Thomas one of her favorite duet partners. I will miss him, and I know so many others as well, she said in his statement. Richard Marx noted that he spoke to B.J. Thomas 3 weeks earlier.
Aww.
He seemed ready to fight his diagnosis. He was kind and elegant gentleman. I will miss him and his amazing voice, Marx said. American Pie singer-songwriter Don McLean, meanwhile, spoke of B.J. Thomas' popularity earlier in his career. All the girls loved him. His testimony of how Jesus Christ changed his life meant the world to me, said Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys. A few years ago, I shared that with him late one night over pizza at the country music cruise. We cried and prayed together. I love B.J. Thomas. Thomas is survived by his wife, 53 years, Gloria, 3 daughters, and 4 grandchildren in lieu of flowers. His family suggests donations to be made to the Mission Arlington, the Tarrant Area Food Bank, and the SPCA of Texas.
That's cool. You know, I have a little connection to him.
Do you really?
Well, I mean...
Did you meet him?
Yeah, several times.
Well, oh,
he
I am jealous now. Well, not jealous, envious.
Randy Travis, who I worked for you know, almost 3 years, they were good friends. And they would write a lot of demos together. And then Randy got into gospel in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so they work together a lot. He's a nice guy. And then Richard Marx, which is funny that you said that, and Holland Oates, they'd all write together and have these little things. And so I'd see like all 4.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, both guys from Holland Oates, or just one of them. It just depends on
just Oates.
Yeah. And then I think it was Hall, actually.
Or no Oates.
No Oates.
No Oates.
B.J. Thomas. And, yeah, all of them. And Richard Marx.
I have such a respect for B.J. as a vocalist because he, like Paul Stanley said, he does have a unique voice. So you know when it's him singing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He does have that.
I didn't know he was who he was for a long time. He would just come in and he'd be like, hey, hi. And we'd just, and he was, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And one of my all-time favorite songs is Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah. He sang the original.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Play it.
So, well, we got a tribute for him, and we got a couple of different songs and some of the ones that we mentioned, too. So here's our tribute to B.J. Thomas.
Did you hear got lonesome weather wind. He sounds too blue to find. The midnight train is wild.
When you hold me.
came out, I knew it was BJ Thomas.
It's lonely out
tonight. I love this one.
Am I off? No, I'm on. Okay. Just got right for a brand new love song. Somebody done somebody wrong. Song. You guys are good.
Hey,
won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song?
Classic.
And make me feel at home while I miss my baby. While I miss my baby. So play for me a sad melody. So sad that it makes everybody cry.
For karaoke song.
Could you get that deep?
About love that's gone wrong. Cause I don't wanna cry all alone. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make me feel at home. While I miss my baby, while I miss my baby. Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit those. Raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun. And I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me.
Oh, so many good songs.
I know. I was like lost in that for a minute.
Yeah, so many good songs.
It's funny because, yeah, I never knew who he was, but he has these... He had these beautiful blue... He looked like, oh, you're somebody, but you just couldn't, you know.
You didn't know who.
I didn't know who for a while, yeah.
Yeah. Now you know.
But he was a handsome man.
Yes, he was
They all were. You're all like,
definitely a handsome man. He definitely aged well. That's for damn sure. That's for damn sure. But both of them will be greatly missed, though.
Yeah.
A wonderful voice and a wonderful actor. So rest in peace, both of you. So... what time are we at? We're at the top of the hour right now. We might be able to get away with this. You want to do this one real quick
and rush through it? I think it's fun. Where did I put it?
Okay.
Where did I put it?
All right.
Do I have... Wait, hang on. Oh, wait, you have it.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, you're going to... Okay,
so I saw this article. I thought it'd be interesting, and I saw it this morning.
Yes.
And as I then began to read through it, I kind of got a little bit disappointed, but I still wanted to get Amber's take on this.
As I am the masturbation expert.
You are.
I'm not. But thank
well,
you.
Not only that, but you're also the only woman in the room.
This is true.
Well, I'm the masturbation expert. So.
I would. Yeah. Yeah, you probably are.
Yeah. So anyway, masturbation techniques from real women. Masturbation, of course, is deeply a personal activity. What feels good for one person can be totally fail for another. Yet when a woman is depicted on the screen pleasuring herself, she's typically shown her back, shown on her back in a satin robe or on a luxurious king-size bed or reclining in a steamy bubble bath simulated by candles.
There's so many different scenes.
Like in the movie, and it slipped my mind.
Let it keep
so like, Welcome to Pleasantville. Pleasantville.
Okay. Yeah. So gauzy scenes like these are not what masturbation looks like. So most women, including the ladies that they spoke to, these solo sex fans, almost 80% of women do it, according to one survey, agree to open up about what they get themselves off in order to demystify the female masturbation and show how much it varies from woman to woman. From hand moves they use to if they stand, kneel, or lie down, or whether porn or sex toys are part of the repertoire. So this really wasn't more technique, but kind of, I think more of trying different things in different ways or whatever. And
setting the mood.
And setting the mood, exactly.
Sometimes you don't have time to do all these things,
so,
honestly.
On your knees.
That can be nice.
That can be nice.
Okay, so I'm going to say this. Obviously, masturbation is very subjective. It's very personal. Mm-hmm. So everybody has a different, you know, things feel different to everybody. So.
Funny story.
Yeah.
And we'll have to play it for the next
if
show.
If you don't have knees, you can't get on your knees.
Yeah. No, funny story. Jill Whelan, when she was on the podcast with Brian Phelps, they're walking into the studio.
Yeah.
And she kind of goes, oh, by the way, I think my mom caught me masturbating this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Jill, I'm so sorry he's saying that.
And then Brian begins to reveal this. He almost did a spit take. And she's going, private conversation.
Yeah.
So I'll have to find it and play that segment.
She hears it. She's doing that right now.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah.
private conversation.
It's already out in the air and open. So. But she got caught or whatever on her knees. So for a while, whatever, Brian would call her Kneelin' Whelan.
Oh my gosh! I mean, that can be. It depends on how you're feeling and what's mm-hmm. going on. But
is it a better position than just say lying on your back or just different or?
I think Steve's overheating with this conversation.
I really
and the window's
am.
Open. Wow.
It's just the
conversation is the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, on your knees is fine.
Okay.
If you're feeling, yeah.
Okay, this one girl says, basically, I like to masturbate sitting up on my knees with my feet back and my knees pointed out to the side, sort of like a cowgirl position.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll put a pillow or a towel between my legs and grind against it to stimulate my clitoris. I can use my imagination, but I like to watch porn, so I'll look up in whatever scene I want to see and try to find a good video for it. The whole thing probably takes about 15 minutes between finding the right porn and having a few orgasms and then relaxing for a bit afterward. I masturbate whenever I'm turned on, but don't have access to a partner. It helps me let go of tension, anger, and nervous energy.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is
safe activity.
I think this is typical. Close your eyes and use your imagination.
And I just think that it's important to figure your body out
mm-hmm.
and to do with yourself. You know what I mean? You don't have to. You don't have to have a partner to. You know.
Right.
It's important to connect with yourself like that and a little self. I think it's like part of self love.
Hey, do you ever see the Vagina Monologues?
A production
of that? Yeah. It's an incredible play.
Yeah.
And they talk about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. They talk about getting familiar and getting a mirror and getting down there and really looking at what's there.
You should do that. Look at your junk. See what you think about it.
Oh, I take pictures of that. I don't need a mirror. I just take pictures.
Oh,
once again, Steve's Twitter page is Silva Lining 69. Use your imagination. This is obvious. Because it's all theater of the mind.
Yeah.
And that helps you get off.
Sometimes
obviously.
You have sexy pictures of your partner on your phone that you can go
Take your time with it. I think that's part of it, too.
If you have the time, take your time.
Yeah. You know, go start, especially if you're new to it, you're doing it for the first time. Slow down.
Yeah.
Take your time with it. Really explore. Because you're right. It is about self-pleasuring, but it's also self-discovery in what you like, what you don't like, I think, overall.
Absolutely.
To me, again, this was kind of obvious. But not all women use them, though. But use a vibrator or explore sex toys.
I mean, I think, that's also very subjective and personal. I have two that I really like that I enjoy. And it's sometimes it's a means to an end. It's like, okay, not much time. Let's get this going.
You want a quickie.
Yeah. You need it.
Yeah, it's hard to pull the vibrator out in church and.
yes, that would not be. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you, when you go, oh my God, they're like,
yeah,
no, wow,
she's into it.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sorry,
that's if you go to a gospel church, though. The they don't fit in, no problem
best
there.
Best place to masturbate's in church.
A gospel true. Church, a gospel yeah. church, though.
I like to say that during sex, I'm totally at church. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. Another gal here, and this was kind of funny. Not haha, but masturbation makes me feel relaxed and happy, of course. I like to watch porn on Pornhub. I love a vibrator, but don't always use it. Sometimes I come too fast
yeah,
with it
see,
and feel
funny.
Better when I don't use it every time. Mm-hmm. For me, 5 to 20 minutes of masturbation is good.
Yeah.
So, okay, this one I kind of got puzzled because I don't know yoga, but it says try reclining goddess position.
It's kind of a similar thing to, like, okay, let me just Google this. I think it's kind of the similar
reclining
thing to being your knees.
Reclining goddess.
And... Is it like...
I have to show you. Okay, so it's the okay, goddess position.
It's not doggy position or not...
Goddess pose?
Goddess pose. I don't know what goddess pose is. So, like, are you bending? Are you on your knees? Or are you...
Okay, so it's kind of, I mean...
Describe it to us.
Well, there's different, there's a couple different, but usually you're standing. And
you're standing. Okay.
And it's just kind of, I think it's more of like about... You're kind of standing, and your legs are, like, you're like
are apart.
Your legs. Like,
okay, so you're down like a you're down like a catcher. Then
why the fuck is Christopher here? I didn't know he was here when I'm doing
okay.
this.
Okay, so you're down like a catcher then, basically.
Kind of. Can be. And then okay. And you can also there's like sitting goddess. It's very similar to what.
Okay.
That other one. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So goddess position.
It's all about what feels good to you.
Goddess position is like you're down kind of like a catcher, but your legs are spread out a little bit
yes.
wider, almost like a Hindu pose kind of a thing.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh dear.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that too. Yes, there's, okay. Yeah, there's several variations to it.
Yeah, splay your legs out under the covers. That's pretty. I think under the covers kind of thing. If you want a little bit more mm-hmm. privacy, even if you're alone, lying face down. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, I mean it can be. It's just also. I mean that's like I said. It's all very subjective.
Okay, lying face down on your stomach. Okay,
I think you try everything and see what works for you.
Okay, does that work for you? Lying face down.
It can. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What about standing up?
That. I think that's a very personal thing, and that can get complicated because my knees have buckled before. Once you're in the shower and you're like, thud.
That's where you just hope that the subway's really crowded.
Oh, my God. And you don't fall, yeah.
Okay.
Subway. What the
this,
fuck?
To me, I don't know. I think it's kind of setting the mood, these three things here. Putting on some background music, trying a white noise machine, and then also making the room smell good.
Yeah, put on your infuser. Put on your infuser with some essential oils in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the burn candles.
If you
and
have
incense.
Time, if incense. You have time to do these things, if you're like, oh, sometimes you don't have time.
Right, you want to in, out, and done.
Well, that depends. In and out is also a
yeah.
subjective thing. Some women
spank
don't,
the baby.
Right.
Spank the baby.
Oh wow, wow. What else?
And well, the last one he was masturbate before bed. You know.
Oh, it's a nice way to fall asleep.
Yeah, great way to fall asleep. Yeah. I agree with that.
Now, I have a legitimate question.
Okay.
And as a female, you can answer this.
Hopefully.
Usually, when people have sex, maybe a little bit more for the guy than a girl, but it really relaxes them.
You mean afterwards?
Yeah. Do you find that masturbate, it has the same calming effect that actually having sex does?
That's the reason, yes. It can be a complete, it's total, yeah, really.
Yeah, one gal here said it helps me let go of tension, mm-hmm. anger, and nervous energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's changing your chakras, too. It's changing your energy vibe. It's you're connecting with yourself. You're releasing energy.
What do the shock absorbers on your car
chakras.
Have to do
chakras! Good God, Steve.
See, Steve has tough games.
I did that once in my truck, and the manager of the trailer park came over and told me I couldn't do it.
Bad story. We're gonna edit that one out. No, I'm kidding.
Changing my chakras. Yeah.
I think it's all subjective, and every woman should be in touch with her body and understand how.
I think it's important.
And it changes too. Like you're not. Oh, it's over the years. Your body, our bodies change and evolve, and mm-hmm. different hormones, different things.
Has it changed for you as you've gotten older?
Significantly, yes.
How so?
Just different, just the duration, I got a little, woo. Anyways.
I like it.
Just the, the duration, how long you can last, how many times you can orgasm, mm-hmm. increases as you get older, all those fun things. And you get more comfortable sexually, that you get more, you have more ease to different situations and,
mm-hmm.
and yeah.
I wonder openness. If it Well, some women wouldn't be, have a propensity to masturbate being raised like this, but if a lot of women in this country are raised to be extremely guilty about anything that is sexual. So, you know, we know people do masturbate. Even when they say they don't, they do.
Yeah.
I wonder that over the years, if somebody who was raised like that through masturbation comes to relax that feeling, not feel so guilty or not feel so nervous or scared about something sexual, if they find that they can...
Definitely. If you're in touch with your with yourself,
yeah,
you know, and you are comfortable pleasing yourself. And, you know, I mean, there are women who've been sexually assaulted and
yeah,
can't be with a partner, and it can be a healing thing for them to, you know.
It's definitely overcoming thing because of the trauma that they've gone
Absolutely.
Through.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because that'd be very tough.
I mean, my sister doesn't listen to this show, but I can say it's on the air. Kara, I am so sorry, my sister Kara.
I'm not. She's not my sister.
But she was very sexually active from a very young age, you know, in her early teens. And she didn't have an orgasm until her mid-20s with her now husband. She had never had an orgasm, but she was very sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she really liked sex and like it was her jam, but I guess no, it was more of a you know,
do it, get
attention,
over
attention, maybe, you know.
Yeah. And there's young girls that are like that where
yeah.
you're doing it because it's the trend for that moment or whatever, but to really, they do it to do and not for the pleasure of it. And then when you now do it for the pleasure of it, mm-hmm. there's another heightened thing there.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it is not just finding the right partner, but then getting into that relationship.
Yes.
That helps you to get to that next level.
Where's Zach? We need that sound effect.
Really? No, we don't. We don't need that sound effect. Please, no, not that sound effect. No, don't even look at it, Sean. Yes. Don't. No,
do it.
God damn
do it.
Wait a minute. Wait
do
a minute.
It. Do it.
Wait, wait, wait. Here it goes. Here it goes.
Oh, God. Woo! He surprised me with that one. I like that.
Because then after you're done with that, you kind of get to the...
I appreciate these.
That's much. Called the money shot.
Well, you know, and I told my kids, you know, my kids are
getting hot.
Oh my god!
With my, you know, with the teenagers, it's a good thing to, you know, they start experimenting and doing those things.
No, it is. It's
was
a
that
good.
Was that a thumbs up? About
no. Yeah.
That was a thumbs up.
But that's no.
Good
it's
job,
just, no. It is because I've had the same talk with my son.
Yeah.
You know, and everything, and. It's healthy.
You should do it by yourself and your mind, and it's teach young men to not objectify women.
You know, I did that very early on with Roman.
Yeah,
I got to tell the story real quick.
Please.
Because it is a wonderful lesson though. No, he was probably about 3 or 4 years old, maybe 4, and there was a good looking gal that had walked out of the McDonald's, and she was wearing some very nicely tight jeans that showed off her legs and her butt and everything. And I kind of went, oh. And Roman heard me. And he goes, what's that, Dad? I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, you went, oh. What was the O for? I'm like, oh, shit, busted. You know? And I said, no, you know what? This is a good, valuable lesson.
Yeah.
So I said, well, there was a good-looking girl that walked by.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the O was about. Like, oh, I noticed her legs.
Oh, hello.
And how good-looking she looked. And I guess the gal had the wrong order, or they messed up the order or something in her bag. And we're in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
So because she walked back in and then walked back out. And the second time she walked back out, Roman goes, is that her? And I said, yes, it is. And he goes, woo, woo. And I went... Hold on. I said, first of all, girls don't like it when you woo-woo them.
No,
they just don't. I said, the whistles or anything like that.
We do not.
I go, girls.
I mean, I guess some women do, but I personally will.
Yeah.
I like to yell at them, hey, I'll bet you know calculus.
Wow. Milkshake to the face.
Okay, I have a story.
Well, I'm not done.
Wait.
I thought you were done.
No, I'm not.
Boy, you're rambling.
I am. So I was born to be a rambling man. So I explained to him, I said, no, what they prefer, though, is that if you want to pay them a compliment, to walk up to them and ask them, may I pay you a compliment? and let them know what it is you like. Oh, I think you have pretty eyes, or I love the way your hair looks, or whatever, something of that nature. I said, they prefer that than you going,
sometimes.
Woo-woo.
Yeah.
You know? 2 days later, my in-laws take him to dinner.
Yeah.
The waitress comes up, and he says, may I pay you a compliment?
Aw.
And she goes, okay. And he says, I like the way your hair looks. It flows very lovely.
Aww.
She blushed. So to me, that was a good lesson, you know, to teach him on that.
Yeah.
Did he get her number?
No.
Yes, he did. I have it now. So.
Oh, my God.
She's now the nanny. So, But I thought it was a very good lesson, just like you say, to not demoralize, you know, women in that nature and to do it the right way.
Demoralize, objectify, it's a fine line of things. My girlfriend and I have been having all these conversations about feeling free with your body and dressing how you want to dress and just, you know, expose things and feeling comfortable with it. And I personally, I have kind of kept, I think you know that. But yeah, she's just very, you know, free and open, and that's her power. She likes that. So everybody's different.
Exactly.
Find your thing, be comfortable, and do that.
Yeah.
Do what makes you happy.
Exactly. We got one more thing we want to talk about real quick. I don't know if you guys saw this last week or not. But this woman, speaking about a powerful woman, decided
wasn't she a 15-year-old gal?
A teenager.
Yeah.
A teenager decided to basically...
I don't think she decided. I think she made a friggin' incredible judgment call.
Yeah.
She just did...
Of attacking a bear. So what it is, if you guys haven't seen it, jump on YouTube...
And we'll post this. We'll post it.
Yeah, we'll
post
it too.
Because it was on all of the major news.
Yeah, across. And she pushes the bear off the wall.
Yeah, I get the dogs inside.
Yeah, and all it was this bear was walking on the fence, minding its own business with bear cubs behind her. And the dogs came out and started to bark, which is natural.
It is.
And then the bear then began to swipe at the dogs protecting her cubs.
Yeah.
Which is typical.
And the cubs took off.
And the cubs take off, right.
Yeah, that's hard to get all of your dogs, and they got a lot of dogs.
Yeah.
Wow. Aww. Just went in and did it.
Yeah, and the bear was paying attention to the smaller dog because I think he kind of had him clawed there a little bit. No harm came to the dog, though.
Yeah.
But then as the bear's looking down, didn't see the teenager come up.
Yeah.
And shoved her on the other side of the fence, you know, kind of a thing.
I like how the cubs are like, fuck this, we're out of here, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. And then the bear took off.
Yeah.
You know.
It's all around a sad situation that, you know, that's... They live in a very wooded nature place, and here we are.
The bears are coming down more and more.
They are, because there's food and all kinds of little dogs to eat.
Yeah.
You know, last one was about the size of a mouse.
Oh, my gosh.
That's out there attacking the bear.
Teeny tiny, like little rat terrier.
It was a little chihuahua is what it was, yeah. It was like, hola, pues, come on, I'm going to kick your ass.
I will kick your ass, bear.
Exactly. Come on, come on, bear. Come on, bear. Come on, bear. Bear. Come on, bear. Hey, bear. Hey, bear. Hey, say hello to my little friend, you know.
And then chomp.
And chomp, whatever.
Yeah, she was very brave.
Very brave girl. And then, she, you know, they asked her, you know, would she do that again? She's like, hell no.
Yeah.
You know, it was just an instinct to protect her puppies.
Exactly. Yeah. Instinct is the thing. She didn't decide. She had an instinct.
Yeah. And, you know, because that is a very dangerous thing because you have no idea what that wild animal is going to do.
It's true.
Especially knowing it was already protecting her cubs. And swiping at the dogs, which were attacking as it was.
It was all very natural, all of it. And it just, we've taken over all these forest lands, and, you know, and we're on their territory.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing that the bear hadn't, like, jumped down in the yard.
Yes.
That would have been a horrible situation.
Oh, that, yeah.
It looked like it was kind of just, they were scaling to get, they were to a destination across the wall. I think they were going there.
Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah. Yeah.
They were like, trash cans, they're over here, let's go.
Exactly.
Here we go, trash cans.
Exactly.
Pay dirt, baby.
All right. Well,
what we should do? My favorite thing.
Play the game?
Kick your ass. See how excited I got?
I do. Like that. All right. Let's go ahead and play the game.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the new game show that's causing all the bears in the world to come out of the forest and attack chihuahuas. Crispy, where's you?
Oh my God, I hope I don't put my foot in my mouth with this one here. I hope these are good questions. I'm like, I'm going to beat you.
I hope so, too. All right, we all set? All right. So Christopher's got to be read all the questions for us. Go ahead, Christopher.
All right, let's start.
If I lose, I'm punching you somewhere. I'm kidding. Milkshake to the face.
Okay, we have to be quick with this.
Question number one.
Oh, come on.
Woo! So much for that.
Who hosted the 66 Academy Awards in 1994?
Amber. Billy Crystal.
No.
Damn it!
1994. I can't remember 2014.
Let's think about it. It was a comedian.
Well, yeah, they're mostly comedians.
Yeah.
Sean. David Letterman.
No.
Steve. Yeah.
Steve.
Bill Cosby.
No.
What the hell?
It is a lady. Just to let
Amber.
You go. Amber.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh.
I knew. You know why? Because that was around the time of at HBO they did those comedy specials.
Yes. The Comic Relief.
Yes. And so, yeah, they were the two.
Yeah.
All right, question Woo! Number two.
Feeling strong, baby.
I bet you are.
Ooh.
Nelson Mandela.
Mandela,
thank you, is inaugurated as South Africa's first what?
Sean. That would be South Africa's first black president.
Yes.
Aha.
Good job.
Thank you.
Question number three. In the 60s, in which American city were you supposed to wear flowers in your...
Steve.
What?
Steve.
San Francisco.
Yes!
In your hair, correct.
Flowers in your hair.
Question number four, we're going fast today.
20 minute, right? No.
The hit Into the Groove came from which movie starring Madonna?
Amber. Desperately Seeking Susan.
Yes.
Why did you raise your hand, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
We're not in school.
What was the answer? You talked so fast, I couldn't. I had no clue what you said. What was the answer to that?
Oh, Desperately Seeking Susan.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Wasn't it Adam Bro... Oh, no. What was his name? Who's the guy in that?
I never saw it.
Oh, God. It's a fun movie. Get stoned and watch that one.
Okay. Well, that's just it. I gotta be stoned.
Number five.
It was good back then.
Who directed the movie Heaven Can Wait?
Sean. That would be the star of the film, which was... Warren Beatty.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Whoop, wrong one.
All right.
Fooled you all.
Going into question 6221.
We're tied up.
Which Texan city lies opposite of... Fuck, I'm going to butcher this.
He just said the F word. Let me see. How do you spell it? Spell it.
All right. No, I'm going to try and pronounce it first.
Amarillo? El Paso?
Is it a Spanish name?
Yes.
I thought so.
Okay. gosh damn it.
What's your last name?
It's not Dallas. It's not Fort Wayne. It's not Houston.
Ciudad Juanze.
What?
Ciudad. The first word is Ciudad. That means city.
Okay. And then Juarez.
Juarez.
Oh, Juarez.
Yes.
Ciudad Juarez.
Okay. What's the question now?
I know. Good.
Which Texan city lies opposite of it?
Steve.
Sean.
Brownsville.
No.
Amber.
Sean.
That would be El Paso, Texas.
Yes.
El Paso.
Dang it! I was going to say Corpus Christi. I don't know. Sorry.
No. From across from what is?
I don't know. I was going to say all the way across. I don't know what the distance is from across.
Think of it.
Juarez
is the same as San Diego is to TJ.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
There's your distance. Question number seven. Which company launched the first personal stereo system?
Amber. Shit. Sony.
No, it's not shit.
Sony.
Yes, it's Sony.
Wow.
It's no baloney.
My dad had one. Sorry, I had to take me.
Go, Amber.
I think she
We're
said.
I'm told you.
Well, see, she said shit because they both started with S.
Oh. No, I said it because I at first I was like, oh, God, is it Panasonic? No, it was Sony first. Sony.
Okay, we'll go with that then. Question number eight. Which Beatles track spent 9 weeks at number one in the U.S.?
Which who?
Beatles track.
Oh, Beatles track.
Nine weeks?
Steve.
Steve.
I want to hold your hand.
No.
Sean? I want to know what year.
I'm going to say Let It Be.
No.
Damn.
There isn't a year, Amber.
Hang on.
Well, actually, there is a year. The Beatles, it, that when it, they it's, released it. Da, 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 no.
That's not the one.
No, it's not. It's not.
Damn, I forgot the words. I forgot the
come
title.
Together.
Wait, how does it go?
Come
again?
Together. Yes.
Oh, come together.
I don't know.
I don't know if that was a. Nah,
she was saying come together.
Nah.
Oh, Sean.
Steve. Steve did it first.
Steve.
Hey Jude. Hey Jude.
Yeah. That is the correct answer. All right.
Okay, we're all tied up here.
Question number 9.
Get one more.
Who was starring in The Streets of San Francisco at the same time as being executive producer on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Amber.
Nest? Amber.
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Damn it.
Streets of San Francisco was
Sean.
Sean?
No, Steve, go. You got you.
I didn't say my name.
He was just saying the title.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the cast.
I don't think it was Carl Malden, so to me, it's got to be then Michael Douglas.
Correct.
Damn it.
Ooh.
Question number 10, the final question.
Sean's gonna win this one.
Oh, yeah, especially since I know he's gonna know the
answer
too.
Dang it! Okay, Steve, get ready.
In this song, what does every rose have according
Amber.
To
Sean.
Amber?
Woo! Thorn, baby!
It's Thorn!
Bam! I didn't win. We're
Every rose has its thorn.
Yes. You know, GNR is going on a tour again.
Yes, so's Def Leppard with Poison and Motley Crue and Joan Jett. Can't wait.
Are we going?
Wow, that's
amazing. I'm going.
Do you already get tickets?
Yeah, my sister got tickets like two years ago.
2 years ago?
2 years ago, she got tickets, and then of course it was supposed to happen during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So now they've waited. So now it's going to be this year. So yeah, we're going.
Jealous.
I think she's got like fourth row tickets.
A little bit. Are you serious?
That's serious.
If she gets sick, if you get sick, Amber is first string. Did you go?
Michelle. There you go, Michelle.
And that could be anything, you know, an unfortunate accident. In
no,
the
we're not going to manifest any shit like that.
God. Oh, boy.
If either of you get sick.
If either of us get sick?
Yes, you might have explosive diarrhea for no apparent reason. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. So that means don't have Amber's food for a while.
Sean, you're going to go to dinner that night before?
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. We didn't get a chance to get to Young Frankenstein named Montino, so we're going to try it next week.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
It'll be fun to do. It'll definitely
yeah,
be fun to do.
When Zachary's here.
Yeah. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Follow me, Steve. Facebook, Steve Silva. Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
What if I don't want anybody following me anymore? No,
then don't say anything.
Then walk backwards.
If you would like to follow, walk backwards. But you can find me on the Instagram and the Facebook, Amber Ashley Perry.
Absolutely. And guys, don't forget also to listen to us. You can listen to all of our past shows right now on Delmarva Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Live City Radio at noon from Wednesday to Friday. So we do thank our affiliates in letting us rebroadcast our past shows.
Thank you, guys.
And, of course, thank you for letting us be on the air with you guys today. We definitely appreciate that as well. Talk to Mike real quick, and he said our numbers are doing very well.
That's awesome. And, hey, come on, give us some feedback, y'all. We would love to hear
from you. Yeah, Indiana. We want to know what you think of the show.
Us.
Yeah, because we already know what we're like in Ohio.
We do?
Yeah, from last week, remember?
I know what we're like in Ohio.
Yeah, because we're number two with certain listeners.
Really?
Well, actually, he's actually listener
your
number
buddy.
Two.
Your
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, Eric, so... Anyway.
Thanks, Eric.
Exactly. Guys, take care of each other. Be good to each other. And we will catch you next week.
Burn it down.
Don't go out and attack a bear, world. I gonna lose those lies. I'm running blind. You'll never be the same again. I'm gonna take you places, money. When the stars fall on moonshine road.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.